If you have a Bible, grab it, turn it on something, I don't know, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter is at the end of the Bible, near the back. For those of you who are really fast, it's right before 2 Peter, all right? So you grab there. We're going to kind of be looking at a passage of Scripture there that I want you to see. My wife, Amy, and I, we had Jordan, our oldest daughter. And I need to back up. She had Jordan. I was there. She had Jordan 26 years ago, all right? And I want you to know, 26 years ago, when that precious little girl came into our lives, everything changed. Everything changed. What, you know, the amount of love that we have for one another and the amount of love that we thought we had for one another was eclipsed when she came into the world. Our whole lives turned upside down. Now, we did lose sleep. That was a big change for us. Lost a lot of sleep. My bank account went down. It plummeted. I understand that when grandkids come along, it even goes down even more. Listen, everything changed when she came into our world. When she came, our lives were upside down. But I want you to know that there's an event that happened 2,000 years ago that changed the entire world. Literally changed the entire world. The way we mark time, the way the Jewish world revolves, it changed the lives of people sitting in this room. Those of us who have surrendered our lives to Christ. Listen, what I'm talking about is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It changed everything. It changed everything. You realize that today we serve not a dead king, not a dead God. We serve a risen king, a risen God. Had he not been alive, had he not been risen, there's no reason for us to even meet today. Absolutely no reason. You know, people named Muhammad, Confucius, Buddha, all of them are dead in a grave somewhere. But no one else, listen, all of us have been born. All of us are going to die. There's only been one who's been resurrected and is alive today. And that resurrection changes everything. That's why we're even here today. That's why we've come here. That's why we celebrate. That's why we sing, because we have a living hope. But so often what ends up happening is that we kind of move past that resurrection after the day. The pastels go back into the closet. You know, you kind of just kind of roll the stone maybe back over the tomb. I want you to hear, and my hope today, as we look in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 3 through 5, that we're going to be able to see how the resurrection changed us. And if it hasn't changed you yet, my desire, my prayer, this morning at 7:30, there were people spread out all over this auditorium praying, asking the Lord to change hearts and to save people today. We want this Easter to be different than it's ever been for you and for your life. That's our desire today, is that you would catch and you would understand that Jesus is alive. And because he's alive, we have a living hope, one who today is interceding on our behalf. So with that, let's start reading 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. You remember Peter, he was an apostle, right? He was an apostle. He was one who walked with Jesus. He was one who was called by Jesus. So let's see what he has to say here. He said, "Blessed be God, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Listen, I want you to know the resurrection truly does change everything. And the resurrection, the scripture tells us right here, is the door by which we walk through. It's the bridge by which we walk through. And we understand and we submit our lives to Jesus, to him. Peter, as I said just a minute ago, was an apostle. He was one of the ones that when Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he called him, he dropped his nets. Peter dropped his nets and he left and he began to follow Jesus. He ended up through a series of events, which we'll talk more about in a little bit, being the leader of the church. He became like the lead guy for the disciples, for the apostles. He is now writing this book, 1 Peter and 2 Peter, to a group of believers. They're exiled believers from Jerusalem, from Israel. They're all now in Asia Minor, which is today Turkey. This letter was written probably 20, 25 years before the book that we're in today, that we're in presently in a series, Revelation. So if you're a guest today, we invite you back. We've been studying the book of Revelation. We're going back into it next Sunday. Who doesn't want to know about Revelation and what all that looks like? So you come be a part of that. This book was written probably 20 or 25 years prior to Revelation being written by John, and he wrote it to the exact same people. The people who were in exile, and they were being persecuted. They were being mocked. They had little hope. How do we know that? Because Peter says, listen, through the resurrection of Christ, you have a living hope now. They had little hope. Why did they have little hope? Well, they had little hope because living in that world at that day, it was governed by the Roman society. And you've heard me say, if you've been around here for a while, in that day, if you didn't bow the knee, to Rome, to Caesar worship, to the emperor worship, you could lose your job. You could, at worst, lose your head. Literally, that was happening. But they were also facing persecution. The scripture tells us, as you read through, that there would be households that were divided. One who followed Jesus, one who didn't. They would face mockery. They would face, Lord, is anything ever going to happen with my spouse? That may sound familiar to some of you in here today. And I want you to hear, there is hope because we serve a risen King. And there is hope for that one. There is hope for that one. Peter, I mean, think about Peter himself. Peter was an apostle. Peter, the one who had been called. The scripture tells us that Peter walked with Jesus. He saw him do all kinds of great miracles. But on the night that Jesus was betrayed, do you remember what Peter did? Three times he denied Jesus. Three times in the book of Mark and in the book of Luke. The scripture says that when Mary and the others went to the tomb on that Sunday morning after Jesus had been crucified, they saw a man. We just read this. Remember, the tomb was empty and there was a young man there. They were greatly afraid. And the young man said, he's alive. He's no longer here. They turned and they ran to the disciples and they told the disciples what they had seen. Peter, being the track star that he was, jumped up and took off running. John began to follow him. The scripture says when Peter got there, it says he stooped. He bent down. He stooped to look into the garden tomb, to look into that tomb. That word stoop means this. It means to bend down, to look, but it gives the connotation of what's going on? What's happening? What? I don't understand. Inquisitive. Some of you are in here today. You've been invited here. You've come. You're looking, and you're figuratively, you're stooping in, and you're looking in going, what are these people about? What is happening? They're talking about a resurrection. I want you to know, today, this Peter who stooped in, his life was forever changed because of that very day. That very day. Where he had denied Jesus three times, on that morning, it was changed. Do you realize that Peter went on to be the leader of the church? Peter himself was crucified. Peter himself was crucified on account of his faith. The scripture tradition tells us that Peter, when he was to be crucified, said, I'm not worthy to be crucified as my Lord. And they turned him upside down and crucified him upside down. Folks, listen, the resurrection changes everything. And as a follower of Jesus Christ in here today, if you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, if you have surrendered, your life should be changed because of the resurrection. Now, I want to step on a toe or two here for just a moment. If you've prayed a prayer, if you've gone through the waters over here and your life looks the same, There's been no change. I want you to hear me. There's been no Jesus. Because when we come to Jesus Christ, by his resurrection, the scripture says, through the door of resurrection, our life is different. Well, how is it different? If you're taking some notes, I hope you are. Here's three things that we're going to see today. Number one, the resurrection guarantees that our past is forgiven. Number two, the resurrection guarantees that our present today is redeemed. And number three, the resurrection guarantees that our future is kept. Our future is kept. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 tells us this. It says, according to his great mercy. Whose? God's. According to the mercy of God, he has caused us to be born again. I want to make sure you caught that. It says that he, God, has caused us to be born again to a living hope. You realize that there is nothing in there that says you caused you did this on your own. It is only because God opened your eyes that you now follow him. You didn't do anything to deserve it. You didn't do anything to gain it. He gave it to you freely as a gift of God, a free gift of God. It's all a work of him. And because of that, we now have that living hope. I love what 2 Corinthians, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, all right? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Some of you know this verse by heart already. The scripture tells us that, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. Listen, because of the resurrection, new has come. My past is forgiven. Not just because of the resurrection, but because I've submitted my life to Jesus and his death, his resurrection now has changed me. It has changed you. It should have changed you also. Look at Colossians. Over in Colossians chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15 says this, and you were dead in your trespasses. What is it? What can a dead person do? This is talk back time. What can a dead person do? Nothing. Not a thing. He says, and you were dead in your trespasses. Now he goes on and he says, and the uncircumcision of your flesh. Now I'm not going to define all that for you today. I'm going to let you do that when you get home, mom and dad. But what that is a designation that he was speaking to Gentile people. That was the delineation between Gentiles and Jews, was the symbol of circumcision. So he says, listen, you Gentiles, you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. God made alive together with him. Who made alive? God. God made alive. He's the one that gave us our salvation. Notice this. It says, God made alive together with him, having forgiven all of our trespasses. Why? Because of the resurrection, our past is forgiven. By canceling the record of debt. Now, this is the kind of cancel culture I want to get in on, all right? Not canceling people, but canceling the record of debt that I have. Notice he says, canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He did not take my sin or your sin, if you've surrendered your life to him. He didn't take it and go hide it like an Easter egg behind the tree. He canceled it. He wiped it away. He nailed my sin to the cross just like he nailed Jesus, his son, to the cross. Anybody out there awake? I want to make sure somebody's hearing me now. Listen, thank you. Come on. Listen, I want you to hear. Jesus himself died so that you, might have a living hope, not a dead hope, but a living hope that Jesus himself, he is the one. He has forgiven my past. He's forgiven my past. But I also want you to see this. He's also, the scripture tells us that he has redeemed our present. The resurrection guarantees that our present is redeemed. You know, I want to define the word redeemed real quick. When God created the world, Those 6 days, seventh day he rested. When he created the world, it says that he stood back, he looked at it, and he deemed that it was good. So what is it that ended up? You know, our ancestors, my mom, my very first mom and dad, all the way back, Adam and Eve, they sinned against God. And when they sinned against God, they broke fellowship. That sin came into the world. And all of us inherited that sin nature. We were not born and we sinned and we became sinners. When we were born sinners, therefore we sin. And we, the scripture says, are slaves to sin. That's the scripture word, not mine. It says we were born slaves to sin. Do you know what the word redeem means? The word redeem from the Latin means this, to buy back. Do you know what Jesus did when he redeemed me? He bought me back from this being a slave to sin so that I could now be a slave to righteousness today. That's what he has done. So all of us in here who have surrendered our life to Christ, those of you in here who are struggling with sin, I want you to know that there is freedom in Christ because he laid his life down and he has bought you back. You have hope today. If you've come in here and you're like, head down, I don't deserve to be here, I want you to hear this. Jesus is alive today, and he has paid for your sin on the cross, and he calls us, if you've never surrendered your life, if you will submit your life to him, if you will bow your knee to him, when he opens your eyes, if you'll respond to him, yes, Jesus, yes, Jesus. Some of you today, you're going, is that real? It is real. It is real. To those who don't have a spiritual mind, it sounds foolish, the scripture says. But to those who are spiritual, those who have surrendered their lives to Jesus, it is the words of life. And all I can do today is hold out life to you. The living hope of Jesus. The resurrection guarantees that my past is forgiven. It guarantees that my present is redeemed. 1 Corinthians 15:17. Look at what 1 Corinthians 15:17 says. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. Or in East Texas, it's futile. Your faith is futile, and your sin, you are still in your sins. Folks, I want you to hear this. The resurrection changes everything. That's why we gather today. Because our past is forgiven. Our present is redeemed. Listen, I no longer debate with people about is that tomb really empty? Listen, if you're questioning whether or not it's empty, then you need to prove that it's empty or that it's fake. You've got to prove that. What I do is I stand right here and say, this is what the scripture says, and I stand on this. I submit to this. The Bible tells me, listen, you know what? The Bible is full. The New Testament already tells us, all in the Gospels. Listen, there's going to be a day when they try to tell you that this didn't happen. They're going to talk about somebody stealing the bodies. We're going to make, you, in fact, that's what they tried to do, the scripture tells us. But here's what we know. Here's what we know. Here's what we know. 500 people saw the resurrected Jesus walking the earth. 500 people saw him. That's what the scripture tells us. But you know what's even more than that? You know what the greatest apologetic is for the resurrection? Changed lives. Changed lives. Peter, who was a fisherman, who began to follow, who then walked with Jesus, who saw the miracles, then denied Jesus 3 times. Denied Jesus. Dejected, locked away in a room. Hears that he's alive, runs and stoops in and sees, he's not here, what? Runs back, they lock the door, and it says that a few hours later, Jesus is in their midst. And I want you to hear, everything changed for this dude. When he saw and experienced the resurrected Jesus, his life was completely changed. Completely changed. So much so that he was willing to die on a cross upside down, to be beaten, to be ridiculed. Folks, listen, I want you to hear me today. What about Saul? Saul, the scripture tells us in Acts, that Saul went about persecuting the church. He would get letters from the hierarchy of the Jews, and he would go and he would round them up, those who followed the way of Jesus. He would go round them up. He would bring them back to Jerusalem. They would torture them. Some of them be killed. It says he was on his way to Damascus to get people when he was blinded by a light. And that light said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he says, who are you, Lord? In that moment, he experienced and knew the resurrected Jesus Christ. And his life was changed. The resurrection changed everything. It was redeemed. God brought him. He bought him back. And he went on to be the greatest evangelist the New Testament we ever know. I mean, there are more of his books in the New Testament than any. It's where we get our theology. Let me ask you, has your life been changed? Has the resurrection changed you? Listen, I'm not talking about praying a prayer. We have to pray and say, God, listen, Romans chapter 10 tells us that it's with the mouth that we confess, with the heart we believe. So yes, we pray, but I'm not talking about just praying a prayer. I'm not talking about getting in a tub. I'm not talking about how many different classes have you taken? How much money have you given? I'm talking about, has your life been changed by Jesus? Because if your life's been changed by Jesus, you walk differently. You look different. If Jesus has changed you, if the resurrection means something to you, if it has changed you, then your present has been redeemed. Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Against these, there is no law. That's what our life begins to look like. And if your life has not been changed, if your life is not looking more like Jesus, listen, I'm not talking about being perfect. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about direction. Are you marching towards Jesus? When you do things that break the heart of God and you recognize that, are you fighting against that? Because listen, I want you to hear, if we're not fighting against sin, the question is there faith? The resurrection changes everything about us. Our past is forgiven. Our present is redeemed. We've been bought back because of his blood. And I want you to hear me today. If you don't know Jesus, you know what today he wants you. He wants you. Today you've been prayed for. Jesus, would you save people? Would you do something? Would today be more than looking nice, singing great songs, and having a family lunch? Would it be about life changed? The resurrection changes everything. Not only does the resurrection guarantee that our past is forgiven, our present is redeemed, but the resurrection guarantees that our future is kept. Our future is kept. It's secure. It's secure. This is our hope today as the church. This is our hope, that we have been raised again to a living hope, the scripture says. Look at what it says in verse 4. Verse 4 says, you've been guaranteed, born again to a living hope through the resurrection, to an inheritance that is, and if you are writing in your Bible, highlighting on your tablet something, that is imperishable. It is undefiled. It is unfading. It is kept in heaven for you, who by God's power, it says, are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Folks, listen, don't miss this. The resurrection guarantees that my future is secure. If you've surrendered your life to Jesus, if your past has been forgiven, your future is redeemed, or your present is redeemed, you're walking him, your future is secure. Not because of anything you're doing. You need to hear that. You can't do enough to secure your future. Some of you today, you are struggling with the fact, am I truly a follower of Christ? It's been 5 or 6 months ago, I sat down to counsel with somebody, and that's what we just kept talking about. he kept going, I just don't know. We started going through the book of 1 John, and we were talking about assurance of salvation, and what does that look like? We went back to salvation. We went back to what are you walking with now? Listen, fearful, I want you to hear, you do not have to walk in fear today. If you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, if you're fighting sin, your faith is secure because of Jesus, not because of anything you do. The scripture says that when we come to Christ, we are in the, Jesus said, you're in the palm of my hand. And then he said, and I am in the palm of the Father's hand. That's double security right there, folks. There isn't anything that can take us out of the hand. Not because of anything you do, but because of what Jesus has done when he laid his life down for us. I don't have to worry. I don't have to fight. And I want you to hear me. If you're in here today, you don't know Jesus, you want to talk about hope. You're struggling about where to go. What's the afterlife going to look like? Some of you are thinking right now, afterlife, I ain't thinking about the afterlife. It's time to start. And I want you to hear me. You don't have to worry. You don't. Jesus, because he conquered the grave, because he conquered death, because he's the only person who's ever lived, died, and resurrected, and is still alive today. He guards our salvation. Yesterday afternoon, a lot of you and with your kids, you did Easter egg hunt, you hit all kinds of eggs, or you're going to be doing that this afternoon, I don't know, all that kind of stuff. Listen, today, the eggs that you hid yesterday or you hid this morning, they're hiding from you this afternoon. I want you to know that because they don't want you getting that basket, getting any of that candy. They're clenching it. They're running away. They're trying to keep it from you because they want it to be theirs. They want it to be theirs. But I'm telling you, the mom and dad tax, you can't get away from that, can you? You're going to get you some chocolate because that's what you want. There ain't nothing that little hand's going to do. They can't hide it. They can't run it away from it. They can't guard it and secure it. Listen, some of you today, you are so clenching your salvation. You're so fearful. I want to call you today to a living hope that you just release and say, Jesus, I trust you. There's nothing. Jesus, I've been working. I've been trying to earn. I've been trying to do good. Listen, good people go to hell. Saved people go to heaven. People who trust in him. And some of you today are going, is this an Easter message? I thought we were going to talk about happy. Listen, the happiest thing you can do today is to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Amen. I just want you to know. It's the greatest Easter ever. John 11, 25, Jesus says this. These are Jesus' words. Jesus says, I am. Whenever you see Jesus, start with the words, I am. That goes back to Exodus when Moses was going to go and lead the people out of Egypt. And Moses said, now, who am I going to tell them sent me? And God said, you tell them, I am. What you have right here is Jesus saying, he is equating himself, I am God. This is his deity. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. You want to find life? It's through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I am the resurrection. I am the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Folks, I want you to know all of us are going to die. Unless the Lord chooses to return. Maranatha, come quickly, Lord. But I want you to hear, outside of that, we're all going to die. And my question to you today, are you clinging to some dead hope? Have you put up walls around things to guard? Have you made your children, your family, an idol? Listen, I love my kids, but they cannot save me. They're going to disappoint me. They're going to let me down. Everything in this world will let you down. As much as I love Amy and as much as Amy loves me, I'm going to let her down. There's only one person, and it's Jesus Christ. He never fails. He is our living hope. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says this. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that's what I call you to today. I call you to be saved, to surrender your life to Jesus. Some of you in here today, there's like a stirring that's happening in your life. And I wish I could say that was some kind of good teaching, good preaching, or great work, great music. That's not. You know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit of God who just has he's awakened you. And you know what he's calling you to do? To respond to him today and say, Jesus, I surrender to you. I trust you. My faith is in you. I've been clinging to dead hope. I want living hope today. God, forgive me. Some of you in here today, you are followers of Jesus. And you found yourself far away. Where you once were near and close, you found yourself far away. And something today, the Lord has spoken to you. And I want you to hear this. He's calling you home. He says, listen, your past, it's been forgiven. I want to redeem it today. And I want you to hear this. As far away as you feel, he is as close as a single turnaround. He is right there. You know why? Because he's coming to you, not expecting you to come to him. We love because he first loved us. It's all him. In just a few moments, I'm going to close this in a word of prayer. And here's what I'm calling us in our response today. Our response today is this, is that I want you to pray, Lord, where am I? And I want you to respond to what he tells you. Because here's what I know. You want a prayer that's to be answered, then you ask him, where am I with you? He will talk to you in that moment. The question is will you respond to him? He's calling you. He's calling you to repent, to turn, to be saved, to be back close to him. Some of you, you're going to stand, you're going to raise your hands, you're going to sing. There's going to be a video that we're going to play in just a moment. It's baptisms. You're going to see people who've been baptized across the campuses and see that new life has happened. I want you to hear this. Baptism doesn't save you. Baptism is an outward symbol of something that's already happened. Baptism doesn't save you. But I will tell you this. I don't know any people who are saved that don't want to be baptized. Today, if you've never followed Christ in believer's baptism, I was saved, my life was changed, and I need to be baptized as a follower of Christ. I want you to come talk to me because we want to help you walk in obedience to Christ. Some of you are going to go, you know, I have been saved, and I have so struggled with my walk. Listen, my first question then is, have you been baptized as a follower? You know why? Because when you play baseball, if you do hit the ball, you can't turn around and take off to second base. That's like, no, it doesn't work that way. You've got to go to first. And you know what? The first step of obedience as a follower of Christ is that they are baptized as a follower of Jesus. And so today, if you want to be baptized, I want to talk to you about that. I want to walk with you through that. We won't do it today, but I want to get you in the process where we can talk and counsel through that. Jesus, I love you. I honor you. I thank you so much for today. I thank you that your resurrection has changed everything. Jesus, I'm asking you, would you save people today? Would you call people to repentance? Those of us in here who have surrendered our lives to you. God, if we are far from you today, would you reclaim us back close, that we would come running to you? Father, we honor you today. Jesus, we've sought to lift you up. Now, would you draw all men, boys, girls, women to you? Holy Spirit, have your way in this room right now. And it's in the name of Jesus that we ask these things. Amen.